morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. I want to read to you from Isaiah chapter 59. The scripture says this, "Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking." Hey, how important is truth? You know, according to Jesus, John chapter 8, verse 32, it's the truth that sets us free. But we seem to be living in a Pontius Pilate age where he said to Jesus, and probably in a sarcastic tone, "What is truth? Is truth just a racist, white Christian nationalist construct? Or is it something way different from that?" You know, we have people today that tell us that truth is just subjective. It's my truth, your truth, his truth, her truth. But the Bible tells us that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. The Bible tells us from the lips of Jesus, John 17:17, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." How important is the truth? Well, my guest this morning is Dr. Jeff Myers. Dr. Jeff Myers is the president of Summit Ministries in Colorado. And Summit Ministries, their mission is to equip and support rising generations to embrace God's truth and champion a biblical worldview. And Dr. Myers has just written a new book entitled Truth Changes Everything: How People of Faith Can Transform the World in Times of Crisis. Dr. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hey, Pastor Jeff, great to be with you.
Well, I appreciate it so much, and I'm always intrigued when somebody writes a book about truth, because we entitled this program Real Truth for Today, and I do believe what the prophet Isaiah said, that truth has stumbled in the streets, and we need to be people of the book and people that stand up for the truth and speak the truth in love. So, Dr. Jeff, as we get going, tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey, and what was a young Jeff Myers like, and when did you come to know Christ, and how did you get to be the president of Summit Ministries?
Oh, wow, Jeff, that's a long show there. But let me just comment on the Isaiah passage you read. It's so perfect, because if there's no such thing as truth, then there is no such thing as justice, because there's no way to define what an unjust act might be. That's just your opinion versus my opinion. So that's the tipping point that we've experienced in our culture. We've gotten to the place where more people than not now say they believe that truth is up to each person. Truth is up to the individual. And people are surely going to hear young adults say this around the Thanksgiving table, and you'll want to know what to do and how to respond to it. That's really why I wrote the book, not just to say, here's how to blast out of the water anybody who says this, but here's how to show them that Jesus followers in history changed everything because they believed that Jesus is the truth. And that was true in science, arts, and all of that. But I came to Summit Ministries as a student several years ago, Jeff. I was graduating high school. I had a lot of questions about my faith I wasn't getting answers to. And I had decided pretty quietly that I would graduate from high school, graduate from church at the same time. Well, my parents arranged for me to attend a two-week-long program in Little Manitou Springs, Colorado, which is a little hippie town right at the foot of Pikes Peak. It called Summit Ministries, and I walked in the front door of that program. I saw the director there, David Noble, and I marched up to him and said, "I hope you have a lot of answers, because I have a lot of questions." And I look back embarrassed at that now, but the truth is, his response probably changed the course of my life. He didn't say, "Look, kid, we have all the answers. Just write out your questions. We'll answer them for you." He said, "At Summit, we aren't afraid of questions."
Mm.
Now, I knew answers are hard to come by. Hard questions are hard questions because they're hard questions.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to know that there were people out there looking for truth. They were learning. They were growing. They weren't just stumbling for blind faith. And that really became a shaping point in my life through which I came to faith in Christ. And here we are all these years later, and I have the privilege of being the president of that same organization.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, when did Summit start?
Summit Ministry started in 1962.
Wow.
In response to the growth of global communism. I know that sounds odd, but the founder, David Noble, started as a college student. He was asked by the president of the college to lead a study group about communism. So he was reading the collected works of Marx and Lenin, as one does, you know, 26 volumes or whatever it is. It's ridiculous. But he read in there where the Marxists said, okay, here's how we're going to win. We're going to start by taking over theology. We're going to take over the seminaries. And eventually, by taking over the seminaries and telling people, you know, about social justice, we're eventually going to get them to stop believing in God. Then we're going to take over the philosophy departments, because we're going to determine what is real for people and take away their old definition of the reality actually exists. Then we're going to take over the ethics departments, and we're going to change right and wrong from being, say, based on the Ten Commandments to being based on whether or not something benefits or hurts the workers. Then we're going to take over the sociology department. Right on down the line, every single area of life, Marxists said, we will take over all of these institutions, and it will not be possible to be a Christian anymore, because it won't even be possible to think Christian thoughts. So that was the challenge that David Noble had to embrace. Is there such a thing as a Christian worldview that can respond to this and bring truth to bear in the public square?
Well, it sounds like from the enemy's perspective, they've done a pretty good job.
I don't think there's any question. Yes, and now you're to the place where people will tell boys and girls, look at one another, there's no difference between you. If you can convince a child there's no difference between a boy and a girl, then you can convince them of anything. There's no kind of indoctrination that they will not submit to if they can't make basic distinctions such as humans are dimorphous. So yes, it continues to become worse, and people continue to grapple less and less with reality. But that's why I wrote the book, Truth Changes Everything, because you can't just say, oh, well, this is terrible. You know, we had a nice run of it. No, because the rising generation's counting on us
right.
to learn how to stand for truth and how to do it in a simple, practical way, even in everyday conversations. That's why I wrote the book.
Well, okay, so Dr. Jeff, when we talk about the one generation passing the baton to the upcoming generation, you know, I share this a lot from the pulpit. We haven't done a good job in doing that, especially with our own children. They kind of gotten into cultural Christianity, which seems to be dying, but they don't necessarily embrace the gospel for themselves. Now, you had mentioned that you grew up and you were questioning things, but you truly became a Christian when you were young?
Yeah, I became a Christian. I remember my mother telling me that I had prayed a prayer when I was a child, but I didn't remember that, and I had gotten to the place in high school where I thought, I just don't know if I believe any of this. It's not because I find it unbelievable. It's just I'm asking questions, and no one seems to take them seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I would ask questions like, how do you really know that there is a God? Oh, well, you just have to have faith. Well, how do you know that the world is created rather than that it evolved? Well, because it's, you know, it's dumb to believe in evolution. You know, I was a debate kid. I was not the kind of kid who settled for easy answers.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody I knew, you know, the sophomores in high school knew how to give at least three arguments in favor of everything they believed. When I went to church, if people weren't interested in finding those answers, if they didn't have that kind of curiosity,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't the sort of people I wanted to hang around with. I loved them. I knew they loved me. You know, if they fixed a meal, I'd go over to their house and eat it, and I would know very well that I was loved, but I wasn't going to believe what they believed. I don't know if that makes sense. I think where a lot of young adults are today.
Mm-hmm.
I love my parents. I love that they care for me, and I know that they love me, but what they believe is crazy, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to embrace it. Well, that's going on inside the mind of a child. So it doesn't really matter what you say about your faith if they've already decided ahead of time that it's crazy to believe it. That's why you've got to learn how to articulate some basic points of truth. And mostly, Jeff, you do that through asking questions, because that's what causes people to really be curious.
Well, Jesus sure asked a lot of questions in his teaching, and so that's a great point. Well, Dr. Meyer's new book is called Truth Changes Everything, How People of Faith Can Transform the World in Times of Crisis. So, Dr. Jeff, your book has two goals. Explain what the two goals are.
The first goal is just to talk about the battle of truth. What is it? Why do people say that there's no such thing as truth, or that each person determines their own truth? What would lead them to say that? Because the motivations are not always the same. Some people are motivated to say, I have my own truth, because they just want to win, and they don't want anyone to have any points that could be brought up against what they want. So it is kind of like a blind faith, but in non-truth rather than truth. Mm-hmm. Other people just say, well, you know, what's best for society is what has to win, whether it's good for one individual personally or not. So, for example, people who favor abortion, it's not that they usually glory in killing babies. It's just that they say, who's going to raise these kids? You're not going to raise them. I'm not going to raise them. So, you know, this is the least worst thing that we can do, is to end their lives. So it's kind of a pragmatic way of thinking. Mm-hmm. Other people just say, look, I don't want to offend anyone. You can, you know, have your life. Speak your truth, man, which means basically give your opinions with confidence. So people have all these different things going on in their minds, but you've got to realize that just in the same way that there are scientific truths and historic truths, there are also moral truths. Morality is not just a matter of your opinion. That's a very dangerous viewpoint, and I'm happy to give an example of how that works and how to have that discussion, but we've got to have it.
Mm. Well, so you make a distinction in the book between truth and truths. That can be confusing to people, so explain that.
Well, truth, I in the book, I just kind of came up with this little rubric of truth, capital T, so truth that is really true, that's knowably true. It's true when we're asleep or when we're not paying attention or even when we're deceiving ourselves, versus truth, small t, which is the idea that we each decide our own truths. So truth, capital T, says seek the truth. Truth, small t, says speak your truth. Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but more like objective versus subjective?
It is, yes. Objective versus subjective truth, absolute truth versus relative truth. Those are some of the ways that people typically frame it. But the beauty of the biblical worldview in this, and I believe this is the reason why Jesus followers have to lead the way in the recovery of truth, is that the Bible indicates to us that truth does exist, but it's not just a set of logical propositions. It's a person. It's Jesus. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, if you follow my teachings, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That word for truth in the Greek is the word aletheia. It means reality. Jesus isn't saying, if you follow my truth, then you will know your truth. No, he's saying you will know. Oh, reality will open itself up to you. You'll know what's actually real, and that knowledge will set you free. And Jeff, we know that's true, say, in the world of mental health. Remember the psychiatrist M. Scott Peck said, if you have a mental health issue, the very first thing you have to do is grapple with reality as it actually is. Mm-hmm. As long as you're living in your fantasy world, trying to make up your own world, you will never be healthy. I think the same thing is true, Jeff, at a societal level. It's not just about us individually.
Amen. Well, we're talking to Dr. Jeff Myers and his new book, Truth Changes Everything. Jeff is the president of Summit Ministries in Colorado. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Sometimes you see a win, a glimpse of God in this broken world. Preborn rejoices in the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Preborn's mission is to love and help women in unplanned pregnancies by offering them the truth to help them make the right choice by providing free ultrasounds. You see, when an expectant mom hears her baby's heartbeat and sees the image of her baby on ultrasound, she's seeing a life created in God's image, and it's a divine connection.
And I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com, or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Friday edition of Washington Watch, last week...
No more tolerance for abusive actions by monopolies.
But is it really just another power grab by the federal government? Parents are not happy with classroom indoctrination and the radical policies they're pushing.
Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Take a time out in the corner.
Refuse to allow anything, whether they be relationships, whether they be friends and family members, whether they be a Supreme Court refusing to hear a case, whether they be any election results, no matter what it is, refuse to allow those things to eclipse the preeminence of Christ in your life.
The Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on AFR. The podcast is available anytime at AFR.net.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They're great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking to Dr. Jeff Myers, who's the president of Summit Ministries, a Colorado-based teaching facility. Its mission is to equip and support rising generations to embrace God's truth and champion a biblical worldview. And Dr. Jeff has a brand new book out called Truth Changes Everything: How People of Faith Can Transform the World in Times of Crisis. Okay, so Dr. Jeff, let me ask you this. When people come to Summit, you're getting all kinds of different students there, and is it designed just for young people, or can anybody come?
Well, Jeff, the Summit Ministries two-week program that's based in Colorado and in Georgia is for 16 to 22-year-olds.
Okay.
So we're looking for students who are in high school, maybe getting ready for their senior year of school, or maybe they're on their way to college. I'd say probably half of any given group would be students who just graduated high school, and now they're off to a college or university or to start into their career. So they're in a very vulnerable place where they've got to find answers to their faith because they are very definitely going to be challenged. So now, we put them together with, you know, people that all your listeners would know about, like Dr. Frank Turek, who's on the same network, and Sean McDowell and Christopher Yuan and many others, top thought leaders in their fields, who not only know how to speak the truth to students and give them a way to defend it, but they're willing to deal with all their questions personally and sitting in small groups or at the dinner table So you come away feeling, these people, I'm not as smart yet. I'm going to learn, but I'm going to grow. But they know the answers. I don't have to walk away from my faith because of lack of truth.
And now how many people would come to a two-week summit?
Well, in our Colorado program, we'd have about 180 students at a time. Mm-hmm. And then in our programs in Georgia, larger campus, we have about 300 students at a time. If you're interested in that kind of an experience for your young adult, just go to summit.org and you can sign up. Programs, they're open for enrollment. They're already, they're probably more than 10% full already for next summer. So it's not the kind of thing you want to wait on. But the program's effect is huge. George Barna helped us study it. He said, look, about 4% of young adults today have a biblical worldview. Mm. He said, by the time they leave Summit, 85% of them have a biblical worldview. He said,
wow.
Your students are really amazing.
So
level of knowledge and expertise. So.
What are you seeing, Dr. Jeff, in terms of, because you've been doing this, been involved in Summit for a lot of years, how are you seeing a difference in the kids coming, 20 years ago versus today?
Well, Jeff, 20 years ago, and I'd be curious to see how this relates to your pastoral experience, the students were coming asking questions like, so you made this claim, how do you know that is true? Today they're asking, how do you know that truth even exists? How do you know there is such a thing as truth? So in a weird way, students sometimes are more open to teaching today than they were 20 years ago. They're less likely to challenge it because if they don't agree with you, inside they're just thinking, well, that's his truth.
Mm.
I have my truth. So you have to actually go back and say, talk about, is there such a thing as truth? Can you even know that? And if there is such a thing as truth, why would we say that the Bible is true? What evidence would we bring to bear? And then you have to rebuild that foundation, so to speak, because you got young adults who just come in and say, a fact is only a fact if you believe it. Like 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4 because it actually does. 2 + 2 = 4 because everybody you know says so.
Mm.
That's the way they're thinking. I know it sounds really hard to believe, but trust me, if you've got young adults around your Thanksgiving table, they think differently about truth than you were raised to think.
I had a conversation with a lady that worked at a university here in Texas, and we were talking about athletics, and I said, what bothers me, this was probably 15 years ago, I said, what bothers me is when you see these athletes and, they interview them and they can't speak in complete sentences, many of them. And I said, and you think to yourself, how did you get into this school? And she said, well, that's a different way of speaking. And so that's its own language. And I said, well, English has rules. And she said, well, we just don't see it like that. And I said, well, is that the way you guys teach engineering? And she goes, well, no. Mm-hmm. All that stuff breaks down, your truth, my truth, his truth, her truth. It breaks down when you're building a bridge because you got to build something that's going to work. And you got to, adhere to the laws of mathematics. That just seems crazy to me, especially for those students that would be going into engineering or into the medical field, because there are laws that work in there that you can't just do things willy-nilly and expect to get a good result.
What you're saying is so important. I wish everybody could understand that when it comes to understanding truth, it's that you can't even understand the lies if you don't understand some basis for truth. If I said, well, water boils at 212 degrees Fahrenheit at sea level, you might say, oh, it depends on atmospheric conditions. Don't you know that it can vary based on that? But you wouldn't say, oh, man, that's your opinion. You're entitled to your own opinion, but don't impose your opinion on me, right? That would not be an appropriate response to a scientific fact. Or a historical fact. Martin Luther King was shot on April 4th, 1968. It would not be appropriate for someone to say, Well, in my culture, it's different. So quit being a cultural imperialist. No, that is the date. As long as we understand the meaning of dates, that's when it happened. We have evidence for that. So I always start with that and say, you know, can we know things? If somebody said, well, you know, science is messed up. Science makes mistakes all the time. Of course it makes mistakes all the time. Science is, in many ways, the pursuit of failure for the sake of knowledge. When you watch scientific studies being done, they set up a hypothesis and then try to disprove it. And if they fail to dislodge it, then they tentatively accept it as being so. That's the process of science. But you would only do that in a world that you know was stable. Like if you do an experiment at time A, experiment at time B, you're actually experimenting in the same world. Well, guess who realized that that was true? It wasn't the ancient Greeks. Wasn't the ancient Romans, it was Christians who said, because the world is designed, then it's stable enough that we can understand it. And because the world is good, but it's not God, it's not like a animated spirit, then it's okay to study it. I mean, people who believe that the world is a spirit, they don't try to study the world because it's holy. You know, poking away at it would be very rude, right? So you have to start with Christian presuppositions, and turns out that's what happened. In the book, Truth Changes Everything, I show that of the 52 individuals who really started modern science, only one of them was an atheist. Almost all the rest, well, actually 50 of the 52 were believing Christians. You would never hear that in school, but it was Christian presuppositions about the world based on the idea that Jesus is the truth that made science possible to begin with.
Now, Dr. Jeff, how did you select those figures that you talk about in the book?
Well, I wanted to draw on research that's been done already. So I looked at the historian and sociologist Rodney Stark. He identified the discoveries and the inventions that constitute modern scientific knowledge. And that was his list, 52. And then he looked at how many of them were atheists. And then I drew on Dr. John Lennox, who is a retired professor of mathematics at Oxford University. He said that two-thirds of the people who've ever won the Nobel Prize in science listed Christian as their affiliation. So it's not like the war between science and religion is the way secularists describe it. It simply isn't. And then I started looking around for stories. Like, I'll give you an example. Robert Boyle. This kid grew up, he could have been a trust fund baby. He could have been a spoiled brat. He grew up in a huge castle. His father had bought it. This castle was built by King John back in the day. It had been owned by Sir Walter Raleigh. His father bought it from Sir Walter Raleigh. And it still exists today. By the way, you can rent it for $100,000 if you're interested in taking a vacation there. But he grew up in this huge castle, in this huge piece of property. Every one of his friends was just a spoiled brat going around spending their dad's money. Robert Boyle decided, if I have any extra money, I'm going to use it to create scientific instruments. And he's today regarded as the guy who developed modern chemistry. But the cool thing is, Robert Boyle wrote a devotional book. It's called The Christian Virtuoso. How can you be an experimental philosopher? That was his term for scientist. And be someone who loves God at the same time. It was brilliant. I mean, it's hard to read because it's in old English, but it was a brilliant way to understand you don't have to set your faith aside when you're a good scientist. So right. I just started picking out people for the book, Truth Changes Everything. Science, arts, education was one. Politics, that's divisive, but man, we have political freedom today because of Jesus followers. Justice, we have justice today because of Jesus followers. So the question is, can we reclaim that in our own time and in our own day be Christians who stand for truth and make that kind of a difference?
Okay, so you have a chapter in the book entitled How Jesus Followers Have Changed Politics. Let's talk about that a little bit, Dr. Jeff, because we have people today telling pastors, stay out of anything political. Don't go there. Don't talk about the issues of the day. I heard a little clip from you that said, you know, what are we supposed to talk about as Christians if we're not talking about the things that everybody else is talking about. To me, it just shows that it enforces in people's minds that Christianity is some old, dated, faith that's rooted in centuries-old documents that has no bearing for today. And my contention has always been, God speaks to all those issues that we're talking about today. So how did Jesus' followers change politics?
Pastor Jeff, I think you're the rare exception to this. I think a lot of pastors are afraid. George Barna one time asked pastors, do you think the Bible speaks to today's issues? And 94% said yes. Then they were asked, how many of these issues have you ever spoken on? The answer dropped to 9%. So most of them were avoiding speaking to today's issues, and primarily because, you know, we don't want to leave the impression that you have to pick a side based on Jesus. That's a decision way down the line. What you start with is, if it really is true that Jesus is the truth, what kind of political system would best bring about human flourishing? Politics has a dirty reputation. Polis just means city. So politics is the rule of a city. Politics is truth applied to community. So when I started in the book, I said my goal wasn't to allow people to, you know, arrive at being a Republican or whatever. I wanted to show them that the very idea of freedom, freedom of speech, freedom from the person in charge being the law and getting to do whatever they want, that kind of freedom came about because of Christians who are thinking biblically about politics. I tell about 75 stories in this book, so this is just one of them. Samuel Rutherford, Presbyterian pastor, wrote a book called Lex Rex, The Law is the King. Up until that point, the monarch had said, nope, the king is the law. Whatever I decide is what is right. And he said, no, sir, you are an heir of Adam, and so are all the rest of us. You're not special in that respect. You hold a position of authority. We are to respect authority. But if you start making up laws that are not really legal just because you want to do them, then we will stand against you. And the king was, of course, furious, tried to have Samuel Rutherford killed. Rutherford passed away before his soldiers arrived to arrest him. And his dying words were, I have been summoned by a higher authority.
Mm.
It was, you know, but at that point, the horse was out of the barn. No longer could the monarch say, I get to do whatever I want, because people realized, no, you don't get to do whatever you want. There is a law of the universe that is a moral law, just in the same way there's a law of gravity, and you can't violate it. You cannot violate our rights. You know what the founders of the United States did in the Constitution? They said to secure these rights. The government does not give you your rights. It, at best, it can secure those rights.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, every Christian needs to understand that. And then down the line, you know, they're going to have to pick who to vote for. That's always difficult. But at very least, we've got to understand the whole basis of freedom came about because there were Jesus followers who stood for truth.
You know, as we're talking, Dr. Jeff, I keep thinking about that famous quote, all that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. And I think we've seen that in America for sure over the last 50 years, where good people, in my opinion, good, God-fearing people who love the Lord and walk with the Lord, we tend to stay out of those arenas that have been kind of given over to a liberal mindset, those that question everything and don't want the truth. But have you seen that kind of to be true? Why are we in the mess we're in? It's because good people have stepped aside.
There's no question, Jeff, that that's what's going on in my mind. And I'll tell you why. Because at Summit Ministries, we do a lot of research. One of the research companies we work with to do polls is called McLaughlin Group. It's a respected national pollster. So they help us poll every month or so. And in those polls, we have found that basically two-thirds of people are common sense, straightforward. You know, they seem to know what's best for America. But why don't they say anything? So we asked them. And you know what? Some said, I don't want to be canceled. Some said, I don't want to offend. And some said, I don't know what to say. But a half of the people who know the truth don't say anything. Mm. And that seems to me to be the core of the problem. It doesn't have to be that way. I mean,
no.
That's why, you know, this book, Truth Changes Everything, I wrote it so that you could even read it together as a family and talk about
Amen.
It. It's not even
Amen.
That everybody has to agree, but you're getting the discussion going.
We're at a break. We'll come right back.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hey, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. Do you know for the last 2 years, Southwest Louisiana has faced multiple storms, including Hurricanes Laura, Delta, and Zeta. 8 Days of Hope sent our rapid response teams to help in these areas after Hurricane Laura hit Lake Charles and again after the flooding in 2021. Well, today we're excited to announce that our 18th rebuilding trip will take place in Lake Charles from December 3rd through to December 10th. Thousands of volunteers will gather from around the country to love and serve this community by helping them repair their homes that were affected by these disasters. We're going to focus on roofing and drywall, painting, electrical work, flooring, and so much more. We can't wait to see what God is going to do. So there's a couple ways you can help with this mission. First, pray. Pray that God will speak through our actions to each family and make himself known. Second, consider volunteering. It's free, and we provide the food and the lodging. Hey, go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, read the FAQs, and you can volunteer right there. Again, that's 8daysofhope.com.
This is Bible League International, urging you to support our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. In the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Pastor Roos's 3 children were kidnapped and murdered by a terrorist cell that hates Christians. Instead of retaliating, the church shared the gospel with neighboring villages, and would you know it, 200 have come to Christ. Some of those affiliated with that terrorist cell, they're praying for Bibles. And elsewhere, Ephraim's store was destroyed in Cairo, Egypt, by radicals opposing the Christian tracts that he displayed on the counter of his convenience store. He has no money to rebuild, but he has shared the gospel with those who persecuted him, inviting them to Bible studies in his home, and over 100 have come to Christ in the Middle East. They're praying for Bibles. Our goal is to bless 16,000 Bibleist persecuted believers with their very own copy of God's Word. We're a third of the way there, so at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20 in this season of giving. Would you pray about it and then call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give it sendbiblesnow.org. sendbiblesnow.org.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Dr. Jeff Myers, the president of Summit Ministries in Colorado and the author of the new book, Truth Changes Everything, How People of Faith Can Transform the World in Times of Crisis. So, Dr. Jeff, as we came up on the break, you were talking about how guys know the truth. They research this stuff, but they're afraid. Basically, they're cowards. I hate to just call it out, but that how else do you do it? I mean, they're cowards. They don't want to stand up and get shot at, so they'd rather you do that. So we'll give you information and let Dr. Jeff get shot at, but we're going to be in the shadows. And speaking of that, so as president of Summit Ministries and a ministry that is dedicated to the truth, how much do you get shot at?
Jeff, quite a bit. There are two kinds of attacks that you experience when you're a ministry leader, and you know this very well. There are the attacks from people who completely disagree with you who are on the outside. You turn and face them. You're trying to figure out how to best protect other people. And then sometimes you get shot at from behind. And there are people inside the church today who don't believe that there is such a thing as truth. and they will criticize or attack anybody who speaks it. So you've got to be wise, and you've got to be shrewd. You've got to have the ability to recognize that there are people who should believe differently who don't, and who might even betray the cause of Christ because they're just so overwhelmed with what's going on, or they want to please everybody. And then you've got others out there who are, realizing, oh man, the attacks coming from the outside is pretty serious. Jeff, here's the thing I'd like people to really take away from it. Don't think that you're taking a stand because you're reposting somebody's stand on YouTube. Don't think that because you made a bold Facebook reshare that you're somehow standing for truth. That's the wimpy way out. Mm-hmm. Yes, we want to, communicate those kinds of things. But what I'm talking about here is learning how to ask questions, probing questions, learning how to have the conversations yourself. If you're letting other people do your thinking for you, well, then read a book. Turn off the TV for a little bit, pick up a good book, and learn how to respond. Watch a YouTube video from somebody, at summitmintsummit.org, somebody like Dr. Sean McDowell. Learn how to take those points. If you say, well, I don't know anybody to talk to about it, well, just, one of your kids say, look, here's something I learned on YouTube. Can I try to articulate it to you? See if you can poke holes in it. Help me make sense of it. The real everyday conversations are the ones that really matter.
Yeah, you had mentioned, the name is escaping me now, but a guy I really like to listen to, John, the mathematician that you'd mentioned earlier.
John Lennox, yes.
Yes, yeah. I loved listening to him. He makes incredible, and he's a smart, smart guy, but he can communicate in a way that everybody can understand him, which I've always questioned. Dr. Jeff, I know you have a PhD, but I've always questioned, how smart is a guy that can't communicate? Because, that's the goal, is to help somebody understand what you've learned. And so he does a great job with that. I hate to say the name because it's been so sullied, but I learned a lot from Ravi Zacharias in terms of how to answer questions, how to process things, especially with theodicy and the issue of suffering. Those were very eye-opening. I think watching some of these guys, Jordan Peterson's not a believer. He seems to be on the track for truth. But I wish he would come to Christ. But he does great in some of those worldview-type debates.
Yes. There are a couple of steps here. One is to find sources of authority where you think, that really makes sense. I like the way they said it. But the second step is, how would I say it if I had to reproduce it? Mm-hmm. A question I like to ask people is, okay, I'm going to give you 1 minute. I want you to make your best case for truth. What would you say? Hey, I would turn on a video by Jordan Peterson, right? but what would you say in your own words? Let's say you're on an elevator someplace and the question comes up. You can't tune into YouTube. You can't just say, you got to watch this video.
Right.
You've got to actually give an answer. That's what Scripture says, 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer for the... And that's a key part of it.
Right.
Means that they're lost in the cosmos. You have truth. You can give hope. But you've got to be able to do it yourself. So Jeff actually wrote a chapter in the book, Truth Changes Everything, called How to Speak the Truth and Be Nice at the Same Time.
Yes, I'm looking at that chapter.
Is a biblical virtue. Yeah. Kindness is a biblical
virtue. Uh-oh, you keep fading in and out.
That's what people want. Yeah, they want to be nice. So I'm saying, you can speak the truth without being a jerk. That's the whole point. And you just do that by asking questions of people. Why would you say that? How did you arrive at that conclusion? Tell me more about that. What evidence do you have for that position? Can I share with you what I've learned and see what you think?
Yeah. Okay, and so, Dr. Jeff, in those conversations you've had with students, because no doubt over the years you've had to have students that come in that are loaded for bear, so to speak, and I don't believe, and here are my arguments and that kind of thing. How do you handle those to where it doesn't turn into a shouting match?
I think the best way to do that, Jeff, to keep it from being a shouting match, and this is just based on my experience as we work with thousands of young people, and you're right, some of them do come loaded for bear, is to just talk about the talk. So let's say a young person comes up and says, I can't believe you would even say the things that you're saying. You're so intolerant. Like, I actually had a guy come up to me at a program recently and say, you are the reason why my entire generation is turning away from the faith.
Mm.
Really? Why do you say that? Because you're telling us that there is a thing is truth. And that's the whole point of spirituality, is we got to learn to find our own truth. Okay. So, all right. Tell me, when you use the word truth, what do you mean? And say, what's this conversation have at stake for you? How are you hoping this will turn out? When you came up to talk to me, what are you hoping would happen? Do you want to just be right? Or do you really want to have a dialogue?
Mm-hmm.
I always ask those kinds of questions. Try to figure out what's going on in the situation first.
Mm-hmm.
A student might say, I was offended by what you said. Okay, yeah, tell me when you're telling me that, what are you hoping will happen? You know, are you hoping that the conflict will cease so that you can go back to being the way you were before and feeling peaceful about it? Why is that a good idea? Why am I responsible for your sense of personal peace? Well, you know, what's at stake for you? Why are you nervous about thinking through this or having to process it intellectually? How did you arrive at that conclusion? I don't know if that makes any sense, but those were the sorts of things you got to do. You can't just say, well, here, you know, it's not like in a movie. Person A says this, person B says this in response, mm-hmm. then person A talks. Conversations, because you're on the radio all the time, you know this. If you made a transcript of this, it's going to sound crazy because it's the turn taking, you know, I listened for cues, your question triggers something that I'm going to want to say next. Real life, real conversation is messy. That's why you just have to make that commitment. Look, we're going to walk alongside each other. We're going to disagree a lot. That's okay, but we're going to seek truth together.
Okay, so somebody comes loaded for bear. They come to the two-week summit, and they're coming to maybe they're coming to win an argument or show you that, you know, put you in your place, so to speak, or whatever. Because I know young people can sometimes be, you know, I know everything, I'm 18. How do they leave at the end of those 2 weeks? You know, I mean, obviously every situation and individual is unique. But on the average, how do people leave different from the way they came?
Yeah. Well, I think some ministries is unique because we tell them, make a list and bring your questions with you. So we aren't trying to avoid any questions. We're not trying to dismiss them. We ask for them. But at the end of the 2 weeks, Jeff, what I'm noticing with students is that they have a more profound respect for people who have differences. So if they come in and say, I came in as an atheist, sometimes they don't say, I'm now a Christian, I love Jesus. Sometimes they say, I never knew that Christians could be so thoughtful about what they believe. And I now realize I was kind of being a jerk before. And now I'm more motivated to listen. Now I'm more motivated to ask questions. Now I'm more motivated to read and to seek truth. So that's sort of the response of a lot of young people. But there are very many who say, you know, I kind of believed in Jesus, but I just had this sense that what if my parents are wrong? Because my teachers say my parents are wrong, and my culture says my parents are wrong. Every time I'm on TikTok, they're telling me your parents are idiots. So I had this feeling that I wanted to believe, but I was worried. And now I have a sense of confidence. that's a super common response to Summit. So you can imagine a young person like that, when they go off to college, it's totally different. In fact, their biblical worldview only grows through time. We studied our students 1 year out, 5 years out, 10 years out. And they actually grow stronger in their faith over time rather than weaker because of the foundation that they get at Summit. So, yes, you can learn to speak the truth. You can communicate it to the right generation. You can answer their objections. You can take a stand for truth in a culture like ours. That's the best time of all. In times of crisis, that's the best time to take a stand.
Amen. Okay, so you write the truth rarely hits people over the head. Unpack that a little bit.
Well, I remember back as a kid coming home from school and then just telling my mom, hey, this is what I learned in school today. And it would be some radical idea. And she would freak out and want to debate. And, you know, we'd have these big discussions. I was going to say arguments, but she was willing to go there with me, which I appreciate so much. She was willing to engage. But it wasn't that I believed those things. I just wanted, this is out there. This is what people say. How do you talk about this from a Christian perspective? I wanted to have those discussions. So what I realized along the way, my students are in a similar position. And you don't hit them over the head with truth. It's just like you're removing blinders. You gradually learn to see. So I want people to start. What does a biblical worldview say about God, about reality, about what's right and wrong, about what makes a good society, about how we can have human flourishing, all of those kinds of things. If you can get that straightened out in your mind, then you've got a foundation you can build on. But it rarely happens all of a sudden.
Mm.
So don't be discouraged.
Yeah, that's a good word. Okay, so we have about 2 minutes left, but what would you say to parents that are getting ready to send their children to college? Because college has turned into an indoctrination camp. What would be your encouragement to them?
Jeff, I really love for anyone with kids 16 to 22 to consider one of these two-week Summit Ministries programs. We know it has a proven track record. The leaders you know of have trusted their kids in the program, like Josh McDowell, Dr. James Dobson, others. And then I would spend some time, maybe this holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas time, asking questions. What are you anticipating? What are you learning about? Some of my kids, my own children, didn't want to answer questions about what do you think about this or that. So I would ask them, what are your friends saying at school? What's sort of the word on the street, when it comes to this topic? That helped them talk about issues, but you've got to open up the conversation. I just had a neighbor buy a bunch of copies of Truth Changes Everything, said they're going to give these as Christmas presents, which I was very humbled by, but I thought, why not start with a book? Mm-hmm. Why not throw a book in the stocking? Why not say, I'd love to read this and talk about it together? We may not agree, and that's okay. But at least we're bringing up the key conversations.
Yeah, it's a great conversation starter, and it's not like this is a 500-page volume that's going to take you months and months to read. I mean, this is something that is hard hitting. It's easy to digest, and it would be a great conversation starter. So, one more minute, so Dr. Jeff, tell us where we can get the book.
You can get this book, Truth Changes Everything, any place you buy books. So just Google Truth Changes Everything, Amazon. If you want to go to summit.org, you can look at it there as well.
Amen. Well, thank you for being my guest today.
Leave a review when you get the book.
Yeah. Leave a review. That would be great. Well, Dr. Jeff, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for the ministry that you do for the Lord and for being my guest today. God bless you, my brother.
Thanks, Pastor Jeff.
Thank you. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today as we've been talking to Dr. Jeff Myers, the author of the book Truth Changes Everything, How People of Faith Can Transform the World in Times of Crisis. It'd be a great book to get for your student and to read it together. It'll be a great conversation starter. Well, go out today, shine and share, and make a difference for the Lord. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.